with all of you, and let's pray that God's breath will be upon this word, as this word is broken today to feed us all. Father, we ask that you will put your breath upon me and put your breath upon this word. As we hear your word, we pray that you lift pages of scriptures and you make the word to become flesh that will see the glory thereof in the name of Jesus. Let your word come forth with power, with accuracy, with precision. Let there be unction and there be utterance in the name of Jesus. Bless us all with your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Listen, a congregation is different from a church. Congregation simply means coming together. The church had always existed with or without a congregating or a congregation. Now, I told you in Genesis, very clearly, chapter 2, chapter 3, God's original plan was to come and dwell with man, to fellowship with man. And God fellowshiped with who? With Adam in Genesis chapter 2. Then man messed up. What did God do? God kicked man out and God left the Garden of Eden like that. So God said, beyond that, I'm not happy with what's going on. So God found our sin and iniquity. This is the Bible account of sin and iniquity upon the face of the earth. So God said, I will annihilate and I will get man to go through a flood. So God brought up a new generation through Noah. But even with Noah, God found Noah wanting because he got drunk. God said, I need to now start a relationship with another man. And God found a man called Abraham. God said, Abraham, you and I will now become friends. I want to start a race through you. I want to start a people through you. Before now, I've tried to walk with the world. But I'm tired with the world. It's not working. So let me now start with a person. No more a world. So when I start with you, you and I will not have a relationship. Watch me. You must teach your children, Genesis 18, to know that this covenant must be honored. So Abraham said, yes, Lord, I will do so. So God said to Abraham, in you shall all nations be blessed. I will make you a great nation. So Abraham and God started a covenant walk. From Adam, he failed. Noah, he failed. Abraham did not fail God. So Abraham gave back to Isaac. Isaac gave back to Jacob. Jacob went to Egypt with 70 people. They were growing in numbers. Growing in numbers. 70 people entered where? Egypt. And they became 3 million when they left Egypt 430 years after. By the time they were leaving Egypt, Joseph prophesied, make sure my bones do not stay back in Egypt. I came to Egypt to work. I became a prince in Egypt. When you are leaving Egypt, carry my bone along. So they took the bones of Joseph and they went in the wilderness. And in the wilderness, God said, wait a minute, that little guy I called Abraham, I started a covenant with. And I gave him a covenant of circumcision to show that those that will be blessed through me, I want to walk, inhabit them, must do so through who? Abraham. Now, in the wilderness, God said, we'll move because I can't do tents. Watch me. Before Moses, there was a tent relationship because from a garden, God moved to tent, Garden of Eden. So right when God was walking with Abraham, with Isaac, with Jacob, they were building altars, every place of manifestation, either theophanic or otherwise, where God reveals himself in form of man. They will build a altar. They will carve a stone. They will say, this is where God met with me. It shall be called Bethel. It shall be called Heroi. It shall be called Erai. So there are different altars that all built unto the Lord. However, when God now called Moses out to build a nation, in Genesis 25, God said in verse number 8, make me a tabernacle. Watch me. So we left the tents. We moved to what? Tabernacle. In that tabernacle, that I may dwell with them. Genesis 20, Exodus 25 verse 8. Make me a tabernacle that I may dwell amongst them. I want to inhabit my people. So they put a tabernacle in the center. They add four tribes. Three tribes will be here in the north. Three tribes in the south. Three tribes in the west. Three tribes on the east. So the tribes of Israel, 12 tribes, will surround the tabernacle in the center. So when God wants to show that is amongst them, he will bring the glory, what we call the Shekinah glory of God, will descend in a very thick cloud full of smoke. The people will behold and they will go, Jehovah, El Shaddai, El Shammah, Jehovah is present here. So they will bow in worship to say, we know you are in the midst of your people. And that happened. So we moved from tents, watch me, to what? Tabernacles. So many years after that came a great king called David. David, there was God's presence in the symbol of an ark, was moving from place to place. So David said, no, wait a minute, I'm not happy. I am here in a big, mighty mansion, massive palace, and God's presence, God's heart is dwelling in tents. I want to build a house for God. So the first man ever that thought of building a structure for God was who? David. You know why? Number one, David was established. Number two, David was a king. Number three, David had lands. That's why I don't understand why people in the book of Acts did not understand why there was no church building in the book of Acts. I will tell you today, there was no church building. So when people tell you don't pay your tithes, tell them, excuse me, tell me where the church met in the book of Acts. There was no church building in the book of Acts. They were not doing wedding ceremonies. They didn't have praise worship like we have today. They were meeting in homes, hiding. They were tormented, persecuted. If they found out where they were, they would kill them. So how could you ever conceive that there will be an organized church when there were people running for their lives? So it shows that people are not theologically sound to begin to say, the early church, they were not doing this. I had one social media ignorant man saying a few days ago that church wedding is not scriptural, that there's no way it is mentioned in the Bible. I laughed because it shows that the man is ignorant of the Bible. The book of Acts was written by who? Apostle Luke. Luke was close to who? Paul. It was a space of who? It was supposed to be the life of two missionaries, Peter and Paul. Chapter 1 to chapter 10, Peter. Chapter 11 to chapter 29, 28, Paul. Just telling us about their missionary work. Paul did not stay in any city more than 18 months. The place he stayed the longest was where? Corinth. How? The man was not a pastor. He was a missionary. He was an itinerant apostle, preaching from place to place. Luke was beside him. So they were just moving from town to town, city to city. So the book of Acts simply cataloged the movement of the church. Sorry, the birth of the church, growth of the church, movement of the church to the world. He wasn't talking about your wedding ceremonies. So guy is saying there's no wedding, so nobody should go to church wedding. Where? We have so many ignorant people speaking on social media about church. They have no right. They are not theologically trained. They are not sound. Because you have an account. You have some followers following you. You think you can just go ahead and then begin to post anything? This upset me. Untrained minds, untrained mouths. They begin to dabble into areas that's not their own job. You are not a clergy. You have no business speaking about issues that clergy should discuss. The fact that in Lagos everybody is a pastor does not mean everybody is called. If you don't know your area of calling, go and sit down somewhere. We will teach you. Go to Bible school, they will teach you. So you understand church history. You understand church history very well. Such people just, they get me angry. Because they don't, and the people are following them. They're following them. Every time. I think a few days ago, a young man actually was so concerned. The man follows me on Instagram. The man was so bothered and he was so concerned. He actually posted and asked me a very simple question. And I was wondering, why would this man be asking me such a very simple question about? He was saying to me, if I could just please assist him, let me just quickly pull up the question. And he was very happy. He said, sir, he said, there's something going on social media. The question he asked me, he said, sir, good afternoon, sir. God bless you, sir, with more understanding and his word. Please, sir, I'd like to know, is God in heaven? And is heaven his throne? If so, where is heaven presently? Is he up in the sky? I got into a discussion with a friend of mine and this came up. And I was told that there was one preacher somewhere in the South that started this nonsense. They are not trained. They don't read scriptures. And they are now beginning to question the very concept of heaven. Concept of heaven. They say if God, the preacher was preaching out of ignorance. The preacher said if God is in heaven. So where was God when he created the heaven and the earth? That the Bible is wrong. Okay, so uncle, the Bible is wrong. You are right. How old are you? When were you born? If you don't know the Bible, say, I don't know the Bible. Does it make the Bible wrong? So that is a theological debate going on now on social media. And I hear people are beginning to argue that God is not in heaven. There's nobody called heaven. Where is heaven? Okay, if God was there. So where was God? If God's house is heaven. So where was God before heaven? And God created heaven. So where was God living before he created his own house? Are you with me? So how to explain to the man that the word heaven in scripture could be misunderstood for heavens. And there are three heavens or realms mentioned in the Bible. I sent him a lengthy discourse. He was so happy. He said, thank you, sir. I said, Paul said to us in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 that I was caught up to the third heavens. Now, the third heaven is different from the... If there's a third heaven, that means there could be a second and a first heaven. Yes or no? The very fact that somebody mentioned third tells you there'll be first and second. I'm not sure of fourth or fifth, but at least I'm sure of third. If he mentioned third, there'll be what? First and second. There may be no fourth or fifth. Because in the book of Kabbalah, they say there's seven heavens. That's an occultic, ritualistic book. But the Bible tells us there was a third heaven. Now, the third heaven is what we call the firmament. Genesis chapter 1 tells us that very clearly, that when God made the heavens and the earth, now the sky is called firmament. Genesis chapter 1. And he called it heaven. So what you see up there is called in the scriptures heavens. Now, the second one after the third heaven is called the heavenly places. Ephesians chapter 2, 7, that's where thrones, principalities, power, Satan actually rule from that place. This is called heavens. The second heaven is called heavenly places. Now the last one is called the heaven of heavens. Heaven of heavens, where God stays. Hallelujah. So when in Job chapter 1, Bible says, when the sons of God came to God's presence, that the devil joined them. He left the second heaven to go to the first heaven to go and join them in the procession. Am I communicating? I just simply sent him an email. If you see the way he's been replying me, say, thank you, sir. Now I understand. Now I know the word. I didn't know before. Demons operate from where? The second heaven, which is called the heavenly places. For we wrestle against flesh and blood, but against what? Spiritual principalities and powers. Where they rule from? Heavenly realms. So let me go back to my tabernacle and tent. Because sometimes people have so many Bible questions, they don't know who to ask. So if you ask a very deep Bible question from an ignorant man, he will give you an answer that will, that will confuse you, not convince you. Praise God. So we now moved, and the major theme, listen, the major theme of this message, or the major thrust of my message, is this: the first person that conceived the idea of building a house for God was who? David. Who executed that? Solomon. Solomon ended up building that temple. The temple was destroyed when the Abyssinians, Assyrians, and the Babylonians came to invade the land. So another temple was built that looked like the first one. The older men that saw the first one in his first glory in the book of Ezra cried. The younger men were rejoicing to say, well, we have something to worship in. Now, that second temple is called Temple of who? Zerubbabel. That was one built after the Temple of Solomon was destroyed. Now, years after, that is the one that Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, saw when he came on earth. He went to that temple in Matthew's Gospel, the 24th chapter. And he said, see all these buildings in this temple, they shall be destroyed. So Jesus also said that. AD 70, a Roman general came in, watch me, and destroyed that temple. The only part of that temple left ever is called the Wailing Wall. I've been there a couple of times. I've prayed there. That's the only part in Israel, in Jerusalem, of that temple of Zerubbabel built, not the one of Solomon, but they built it on the same place. It's called the Wailing Wall. Now, watch me. Solomon built it. Jesus came. Then when Christ came, watch me, Christ now said to us, listen, all of you don't understand. that God does not dwell in these block walls. God dwells in people. That under the new covenant, the temples that God would like to dwell in will not be temples made with human hands. Now that is a message all of us have forgotten. Now this place is for all of us as human temples gathering together to meet. This is simply physical symbolism of what we're doing spiritually. Are you with me now? This is physically to explain where we congregate. So right now, church has been stopped from operating on a weekly basis, but church has not been stopped from worshiping God. I may stop your operations, I can't stop your function. The function of the church is to worship God. God is still being worshipped daily all over the world, whether the church buildings are under lock and key or not. So if you miss that message, you've missed everything. The very central thrust of our message tonight is, listen to me, number one, Jesus himself in Mark chapter 15 verse 29 said, destroy this temple. Which temple? He was speaking of his own body, but he thought he was speaking of the physical temple. So today he said, if you destroy that temple, you see, when they had passed by rail on him, they said, ha, thou that destroyed the temple and you built it in 3 days. They were laughing at Jesus to scorn, because he said it in John chapter 2. Go to John chapter 2 for me, verse 19 to verse 22. This was after Jesus just cleansed the temple. You have to understand what happened in John chapter 2. Jesus went to the place to cleanse it, and Jesus answered and said to them, destroy this temple and in 3 days I will raise it up. Hallelujah! Do you know why they thought that temple was physical temple? Because in verse 14, go to verse 14 of that same passage of John chapter 2, you find what happened. That's why they were confused. Jesus was speaking about a different temple. They were considering a different temple. Look at, and he found in the temple, which temple? Physical temple. Those that sold oxen and sheep and doves and cleansed and changers of money sitting, my God. And what did he do? When he had made a scourge, today I'm making my own scourge, give me my own scourge. When I made a scourge of small cords, he drove them all out of the temple, and sheep and the oxen, and poured out the changers of money. He overthrew, oh God, Jesus shook the tables. Thank you. Jesus shook the tables. He overthrew, I'm going to clean the house. He overthrew the temple, and he said to them that sold, those take these things out. Take it out. I want to clean the temple and make not my father's house a house of what? Merchandise. Wow. And his disciples remembered that it was written, the zeal of the Lord's house has eaten me up. Verse 18. And then answered the Jews and said to him, what sign will you show to us seeing you do all these things? Jesus answered them, the sign. That answer, that statement was an answer to a question. Tell us your sign. He now said, destroy this temple and in 3 days I will raise it up. Look at what he said. He laughed at him. Abba, look at you. Destroy the temple. Look at the next verse. Verse 20. And he said, Jews said, 40 and 6 years was this temple in building. It took them 46 years to build it. Will you raise it up in 3 days? How can you, Pastor George, raise up a temple that took... He spoke of the temple of his body. Listen to me, everybody. Today's message is about cleaning the temple. Jesus said to us that we all know today that we are the temple of the Holy Ghost. Temple. Jesus did only one thing physically when he went to the physical temple. He cleansed the temple. Today, I want to talk to you about how to clean the temple. I'm holding a cleaning tool here today. This is a cleaning tool to get cobwebs out of a building. So also in the spirit realm, when Jesus went there, watch me, and he kicked the tables, he was trying to sanitize the system. He was trying to clean the temple. Even though, I don't want to preach this, but I will preach it. Even though He did not use brooms. He used scourge. And people have asked me, Pastor George, they've asked me, why would Jesus use a scourge to clean his own temple, not a broom? Today, physically, he used brooms to clean temple, but figuratively, he used scourges, because you need to be firm. You need to be strong, to be very disciplined, so you can make sure people that want to defile the temple are whipped out of God's presence. The temple of the Holy Ghost needs cleansing, needs cleaning, needs us to wipe things that are dirty, get them out of the system. I'm not speaking about physical temple. I'm speaking about what? You being the temple of the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. Put your hands together, everybody. Put those hands together. Jesus in John chapter 2 went to a physical temple. He carried out a reform. Then he made a statement saying, this, destroy this temple in 3 days, I'll raise it up. You all know, number one, that Christ was speaking about his body being the temple, not the physical building. Why? Because the Bible tells us in Acts chapter 7 that God dwells not in houses and temples made by hands or built by man. Very clearly, you need to get that into your medulla oblongata. That whenever I speak of temple today, I do not speak of physical church. I speak of you being the body of Christ. Acts chapter 7, verse number 48 tells us that clearly. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 16 says, what has the temples of God have to do with idols? So what are we going to clean the temple of? I will show you. Number one, you need to agree with me that God does not dwell in temples made by hands. Acts chapter 7, verse 48. Acts 17, verse 24. Howbeit, the most holy, most high, dwelleth not in the temples made with hands, as said the prophet. So if he doesn't dwell in those kind of temples, what kind of temples does he dwell in? Acts chapter 17, verse number 24. Give me Acts 17, 24. Acts 17, verse number 24. God has made the world and all things therein. Seeing he is the Lord of where? Heaven and earth. Dwelleth not where? In temples made with hands. Praise God. That was the message that Paul preached. And the people that worshipped Diana of Ephesus, they were angry with Paul. And they were so in Berea. They were so upset. What agreement has the temple of God with idols? So the question now will be this. If you and I are the temples of the Holy Ghost, and we saw what Jesus did, watch me, by casting out certain things from the physical temple, speaking of spiritual matters, but using natural things to explain spiritual matters. There's a scripture that I hate to quote. I hate it so much because it's a very, 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 very deadly scripture. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16. I've preached it, but I am afraid of preaching it. Whenever I say that scripture, people don't understand it. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16. And the Holy Ghost dwells in us. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16. Listen to me. The Holy Ghost dwells in us. Look at verse 16. All of you, read with me. Know ye not that you are the temple of God? Do you know that? Do you know that? Raymond, do you know that? And that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. Ology, is that true? Which part of you? Your human spirit, not this place. But this is simply a house. The house I live in, I don't live in the block. The block simply covers me. So this body covers me. You get my point now? So the Holy Spirit does not dwell in my flesh. It is flesh and blood there, but in my being. Now, the next statement is very, very funny. Look at the next statement. This is very funny. All of us have our understanding of that scripture. But let us ask ourselves, Pastor George, if any man defile the temple of God, this is a very tough scripture. Violet, I can't preach it. Him shall God destroy. How? The God of grace? Why would God be destroying his own children? For the temple of God is holy. The word holy means hallowed. People don't understand. They think only of sexual immorality. So today, listen up. For the temple of God is what? Which temple? Okay, so listen. This is today's message. I want to preach on cleaning the temple. So for us to clean the temple, so we don't get destroyed. So let us now understand what can defile the temple. Let us understand what? Because if we defile or corrupt the temple, it says God shall destroy in hell, not kill on earth. That word destroy means eternal destruction. So it's not speaking about now. Hello? So I preach grace, I also preach truth. He that defiles the temple, how can my temple be defiled? Have you ever asked yourself that question? How? Because you keep looking at a body, and especially people will think of sexual immorality alone. No, there are many other ways. I'm going to show you today. He that defiles the temple, him shall God destroy. I beg you, everybody, listen to me, please. Can we agree to delete that verse from the Bible? Why are you laughing? It's a serious verse. Look at me. God said they will destroy. Can we all agree in the spirit or in the flesh to take that verse out of the Bible? This is a verse preachers like Joseph Prince will not tell you exists in the Bible. He that what defiles the temple of God, him shall God destroy. Now, I want to clean the temple so I don't get destroyed. If we can only clean the temple, to sanctify ourselves, because it says, for the temple of God is holy, meaning hallowed. Which temple you have? So this is a very sensitive, delicate passage of scriptures. And if you don't understand it, you will abuse that scripture. I don't want God to destroy this temple. For it says, fear not him that can destroy the body only, but fear he that can destroy both the soul and the body in hell, in eternal damnation. So listen to me, everybody. As you sit in your comfort of your homes now, listening to that message, ask yourself, what are the things that can defile the temple? I don't know about you. I don't want to take chances with destruction. So he that defiles the temple, him shall God destroy. He that defiles the temple, him shall God. So it's a scripture that says, I don't like preaching. Not because of the word defile, but the word destroy. Pastor George, you're not here. Not because of the word defile, but because of the word what? Destroy. I don't like that word destroy. It lacks empathy. It lacks grace. To destroy, I don't want to destroy. But we found a passage in the Bible where Jesus Christ went to clean the temple. He pushed things out so that the temple would not be destroyed. Can I ask you a question, Pastor George? Was that temple destroyed? It was. Physical temple. Why? They did not take care of cleaning the temple. AD 70, God allowed the enemy to come in and physically destroy the temple. And now it's God's house. Was the first temple destroyed? Yes. Why? They did not take care of the temple. His own house. Could God not defend himself? Yes, he could. He allowed the enemy, the Babylonians, to come in and do what? Destroy. They built a new one. It was also destroyed physically. So how can you now say God cannot destroy my own temple? He that defiles the temple. So the way I study my scriptures, so I said to myself, God, give me an insight into what can defile the temple so that I can know what to avoid. Are you with me now? Check it out right now. Today we are talking about human temples. And since it says temples that you are, because we all are the temple of the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. So to understand that, I will share with you now in the next 20 minutes five things, chapter 4 verse 5, that the spirit that dwells in us lost to envy. Oh, you don't get it. So watch me. The Holy Ghost that is in us is always envious and jealous when we put that temple to worship other things. Do you get the point now? So God gave this man a lot of talent. God gave him gift. Though God inspired him. He's so gifted, talented, Oluchi. He now uses, it's only God's inspiration. Now uses his talents and his gifts to serve the flesh. To sing secular songs. To sing disco. What do they sing today? Oluchi, what do they sing today? What is the song they sing today? Shaku shaku. To do shaku shaku. What are the songs they sing today? So the Holy Ghost will be what? Jealous. Because the spirit that dwelleth in us is jealous. I didn't endow you with all these gifts and talents for that purpose. So the Holy Ghost will be grieved. Grieve not the Holy Ghost, and he may leave. The Holy Ghost leaves you when you grieve him. Someday I will teach you how not to grieve the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost leaves when he's grieved. You can't stop him from leaving. You can't say no. He has to stay. Stay there. He leaves when you grieve. Don't you ever forget that. He leaves. It's a quotable quote. The Holy Ghost does what? He leaves when he is grieved. Make sure you don't grieve him. Grieve not the Holy Ghost, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. So when he leaves, you just lost your day of redemption. You will be destroyed. Praise God. So God wants us to keep the temple clean. Can we please ensure we keep this temple clean and hallowed? There are many things that define the temple. Number one, the first major thing that everybody will never think about. If I ask you now on TV, tell me what defines the temple. Sexual immorality. The first major thing, idolatry. You cannot serve an idol in this temple. Idolatry. Because when you go to the temple of God, who do you want to see? God worshipped, not idols. What agreement has the temple of God with idols? Paul was saying that, how can you go to, what is that place called? Oganigwe's temple or shrine, and you find Shango there. How can you go to Shango's shrine and you put a cross there? Every shrine will have its own deity, a symbol of his deity. When you go to Obatala's shrine, what do you want to see? Obatala's deity, symbol. When you go to the church, put that emphasis on the cross. You hope to see the sign of the cross in every church on earth. How can you go to church and you can't find a cross? When you go to the mosque, if you want to die quick death, go to a mosque in the north and go and put the Bible and say in Jesus' name, they will kill you easily. They say, go to your church and go and do that. Because this house is meant for Islam. I don't think you are listening to me. Every house is dedicated to some being. So if this temple is a temple of God, who should we worship here? Say it again. Shout it out. How can you serve idols in the temple? What agreement has the temple of God with idols? With idols. How can you worship your job and not your God? There are people that bow before God, jobs. They make their jobs as if their job is what they worship. Outside their job, if you see the way they worship their job, what is worship? Can I tell you what worship is? Watch me. Anything that takes your attention and your affection is what you worship. Anything. So there are people that worship their degrees. They cannot talk without saying, do you know I went to Harvard? There are women that worship their bodies. 15 times a day, they snap the pictures of their faces and put on Instagram. There are people, what you worship. So ask yourself, everybody, do I worship God in this temple or I worship an idol? And the problem with you all today is our understanding of idols. In 1 John chapter 5, verse 21. 1 John chapter 5, verse 21. Because I'm teaching you the things. You see, go back. Leave this place. Leave this place. Leave. Don't go. For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them. Can you see? In trying to explain what it means to be the temple of God, he now said, God said, I will dwell in them. Walk in them. Will be their God. They shall be my people. So imagine God dwelling in you, and you now found Dagon by his side. Remember when they brought the Ark of Covenant to the house of Dagon? What happened? The statue of Dagon bowed. They came the following day. They said, no, it must be a mistake. This is a house of Dagon. But God said, I don't care. Don't you ever place me beside Dagon. They erected the idol again. Came second day. The idol did what again? Bowed. I think when they thought it was now crushed. Scattered and crushed. They said, this God is angry. Come and take your God. Go. Put your hands together. How dare you? Do you know how many Dagons we put beside God? It's the height of disrespect to place the temple of God before Dagon, before jobs. There are many Christians listening to me today. They will put God last. The first thing in your life, if I ask you, my wife knows what I'm saying today. The number one thing in my life is God. Next is my family. Some of you put family above your God. You even tell everybody, no, God for where? My family first. Family before God? You have a problem. Some say my job first. Job before God? Yes. Job? Your job? God can take your life now. That job will be gone. The same job you are worshiping will be what? Gone. You will lose the job. How dare you place work above God? And people think God is taking it lightly. What are the things that defile the temple? You don't see as idolatry. Idols. You put this temple to worship an idol. You know, modern day idols are not like olden days idols. And I like the way Paul, you see, Paul was the one that helped us understand idols. Paul said, look. There are idols and there are idols. The truth is, there is no idol. You know, Paul, I love Paul. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 8. 1 chapter 8. Paul actually said, there is no idol. I beg. There's only God. All other idols, there are no idols. 1 Corinthians chapter 8. The same Paul said, do not bring God before idol. No. 1 Corinthians 8. Quickly. Now, as touching things offered to idols, look at Pastor George. We know that knowing is powerful, that we all have knowledge. Look at that English, that's tautology. We know that we have knowledge. Sister Violet, does that make sense? We know that we have knowledge. I don't understand that. But knowledge pops up, but charity edifies. Next verse. And if any man think that he knows anything, he knows nothing, yet as he ought to know, meaning there are different levels of knowledge. So you think you know, you will see your baba, you will see a man that knows more than you, saying, now I bow. Number three, if any man love God, the same is known of him. Now verse four is critical. Concerning therefore the eating of those things that are offered in sacrifice to idols. This is a message, a scripture when I was a young Christian that troubled me. Because my aunt that led me to Christ said every year during Ileya festival, if you eat the meat that Muslims give you, you are eating a meat sacrifice to Allah. Hey! I told my father, I wonder, hey, Ileya, bye-bye, waka. Because I don't want to eat to Allah anymore. So I loathed that meat. They told me that before they slaughtered the meat, they say, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Alhamdulillah Rabbi Alani. So I said, incantation or recitation is unto Allah. Another is a demonic god. So I said, never you layer meat. Because I'm chopping out to Hala. But Paul now educated me. Since then, you can tell what I've been doing. I will not tell you. I will not announce it on TV. Because I don't want the weak consciences to be bruised. That meat is delicious. I'm not telling you I ate it. I didn't say I ate it. I only said the meat is delicious. I've not said I ate it. Do not quote me or misquote me. Please. Praise God. Concerning those things eating up idols. Eh? We know. Look at Paul. George, we know that an idol is nothing in the world. Underline it in your Bible. Paul just told you, there are no idols. Watch me. There is God and there are demons. Those demons are what they are worshipping. But they all worship in different names. It's still Satan. Satan manifested in multiple names in multiple cultures. That's what the Bible tells us. God and Satan. So demons are existing. So today, this man can start an idol and bewitch maybe 1,000 people in his village and say the idol is now called Igbena. Say, okay, well, yeah, we are worshiping Igbena. Every week, bring white cock, Igbena. So his children will begin to grow. They start worshiping what? Igbena. So after 100 years, if our family become rich, because that tribe becomes great, they say, in our tribe here, worship what? Igbena. Who started Igbena? One man somewhere that wanted to marry 3 girls and they didn't allow him. So now says Igbena said they shall marry the person. Look at Paul. We know that an idol is nothing in the world and that there is none other God but one. Look at verse 5. Though there be that are called gods, there are some things they call gods. Igbena, whether in heaven or on earth, as there be gods many and lords many. Next verse. Verse 6. But to us, who are these us? Christians. There is but one, the Father, of whom are all things. And we in him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we by him. Next verse. Howbeit, there is not in every man, Michael, that's the problem. That knowledge I just told you now, that there's only one God. Not everybody has that understanding. Now, verse 7 is the problem today. Innocent. Because not every man has that knowledge. For some people, with the conscience that Igbena is an idol, unto this hour, when they eat that cock, give it to Igbena, they eat it as offered to who? Igbena. And so their conscience is what? Weak. Is defined. So if you now tell them, if they now see you, they now get born again, they now see you going to Igbena's shrine, to eat Igbena's meat. Hey, Pastor George is eating food dedicated to Igbena. Can you imagine? Pastor George is an Igbena worshiper. Hey, and he comes to church leading prayers. I saw Pastor George, he entered the shrine of Igbena. They gave him meat, he ate the food of Igbena. Hey, Reverend must hear this. Funke! Apostle must hear this. They start going everywhere on social media, pushing Pastor George is not eating Igbena. He says, we know that it is offered to idol and their conscience. Conscience is the voice of the spirit. Conscience can be strong and can be weak. Conscience is where our morals are. Pastor George, stand up, come here. My conscience, come up here. My conscience does not see me doing this as wrong. How now? How you doing? Georgie. Now, if I tell Ejiro, please come. Ejiro is my secretary. Ejiro, come and stay here. So another Christian cannot hug a sister like this. Come and stay here. I say, Ejiro, again, I look at him. I say, if I do this, hey, man of God is hugging a woman. Hey. So come, stay here. So another person have a weak conscience. Come and stand here. When I got married to my wife, before I got married to my wife, I was a SU with a weak conscience. And my wife, I saw my wife greeting her cousins, hugging, and her colleagues of this hugging. I say, hey, Jesus is Lord. Is she a Christian? Is she born again? And you are hugging? Don't you know hugging is a sin? So if I do that, hey, Jerome, how are you? Some will say, because you have, watch me, a weak conscience. Paul now said, I must be careful not to bruise your conscience. to me, this is nothing. But to you, it is something. Go and sit down. It's a big sin. So this man will now go home with a different picture of a man of God, because it is his conscience that tells him what is sin and what is not sin. Apart from the Bible that defines that clearly to us, that's why the church should teach people the truth, so that when the truth is there, it nurtures your conscience. Your conscience becomes alert through the word of God and aware. It's what we call conscious. So your consciousness to good and wrong is stronger and right, because the Bible explains it to us. But if you don't read the Bible, then the tradition is what tells you what is right or wrong. So your conscience is dictated. But some people have dead consciences, smeared, because they've deadened, they've snared it, they don't want to hear the truth, they know it, they want to continue to do what is wrong. That's why you say, don't you have a conscience? How can you do that to a man that fed you? This man gave you a job, this man fed you, and you still go and begin to lie on him. Don't you have a conscience? Do you get the point? Like those, that person that put on my social media on the question that I paid them 50%, I didn't pay full salary. Did that person have a conscience? Did you have a conscience? And you didn't think what you said or did is wrong? You tell lies on people, you slander people, you weaken people. Your conscience is dead. One day, I will teach you different levels of consciousness or consciences mentioned in the Bible. So he says, there's dead people, they have a weak conscience. Go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse number 7. 1 Corinthians 8, verse 7. Meat commends us not to God. Neither if we eat, are we better. Neither if we eat not, are we worse. So it's not what you eat that makes you righteous. It's what comes out of your mouth. Christ said, a man is not cleansed, Christ, by what goes in, but what comes out. Matthew chapter 15. For out of man's heart cometh issues like what? Adultery, like fornication, like hatred, like envy, like jealousy, like murder, like corruption. It is here. For the heart of man is desperately wicked. Praise God. So take it, lest by any means the liberty of yours become a stumbling block to those that are weak. This is what we've told all those hyper grace preachers. If you know you can live under hyper grace, that you can carry a girl on your lap, like that pastor in Abuja that put a girl on his lap in a small hotel, the girl said, "Oh, pastor," say, "Don't worry, I will teach you a different level of grace." Take your different level of grace to your bedroom. Don't teach a poor girl. The girl's heart is still bruised. You say, "Let me teach you a different level of grace." Look, look, look. Your level of grace is bruising my conscience, because your level of grace is taking you to hell. Don't take me along. He said, your liberty can become a stumbling block to those that are. Until she gets to that level of grace with you, don't drive her to the place by force. Which is a level of grace to live in sin. Don't let me go there, because they call me SU too much now. Hallelujah. You see, those here already keeping quiet. How much more of you are at home? Those here already sad. So you can imagine those at home are angry. If you hear us are quiet, those at home are saying, "Reverend, Reverend, finish message. Finish message, make you go home. I beg, I beg, I beg." Praise God. So, you see, in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1, this is a problem we make when we say, "He that defiles the temple." If this building is the temple of your house, the real house, this is the house, is housing something. Yes or no? Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse. Somebody shout cleanse. Shout cleanse. Where's my broom? Cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit. Every Christian, they don't read the spirit part. We only read the filthiness of the flesh. What are the filthiness of the spirit? Perfecting holiness in the fear of the Lord. Cleanse. So today, we know we are the temple of the Holy Ghost, but can we cleanse this temple? Purify my heart. I want to sing. Can you cleanse your temple? He didn't say, let us pray that God will come and cleanse us. Let us cleanse. It's you. cleanse yourself. Cleanse ourselves from the filthiness. Meaning the things that what defile this temple. And when I say that, the reason I said this is because, listen to me, listen. Of the five things I'm mentioning, only one of them is physical defilement, sexual immorality. Remaining four are spiritual defilement. And we always fix our focus on what? Physical. That's why a woman in her 40s, I've noticed those women are the ones that are more holy in the church. Women in their 40s and 50s and 60s. I'm sorry, man. Like that girl would say, Adiola, I'm sorry, man. You're in your 50s. So I don't expect you to be sleeping around because nobody will sleep with you, man. They look around for boys and girls in church. They're living in iniquity, adultery, fornication. What fornication can a 57-year-old woman be committing? But she's an idolatrous person. She's worshipping something else, not Christ. She's bowing to mammon. Because the things that defile the spirit, they don't talk about it. We only talk about the things that defile the flesh. Envy is there. Malice. Unforgiveness. Unforgiveness. Bitterness. Unforgiveness. Unforgiveness. They defile the spirit. Cleanse yourself. Because those ones are not visible. You come dressed up in a nicely gay clothing to church and they say she's holy. No. Check her spirit, not her body. You cannot be holy with your body alone. You are holy with your spirit. Filthiness of the flesh and the spirit. Filthiness of the flesh and the spirit. I'm coming to the flesh. I'll never come to the spirit. Idolatry is the first thing that defiles us. We cannot mature holiness if we are filthy in the spirit. Check a man's spirit to know how pure we are. Blessed are the pure in heart, not pure in the body. I don't want to go there. Because most of us, including Yomika Sally, this is where we have problems. Where? The spirit. But Pastor Julius, you can't see my spirit. So you don't know how filthy I am. I come with a smile on my face. You can't tell that my spirit is full of competition with my friend that owns a bigger church than me, and hatred and envy and bitterness for that man. What did Jesus say? I'll not forgive you. I'll be greeting you in church with hypocrisy. Hello, how are you? And my spirit hates you, loathes your presence. I can't stand you. I'm wishing you dead. I'm wishing evil to my brother in church. The day I hear, shh, Michael, don't tell anybody. The day I hear a bad news about her, about him, I'm the first person to inform the church. You know, Reverend, have you heard? Have you heard what? Pastor George, Pastor George, it has happened. Where is that information coming from? A very defiled, filthy heart. Exactly. We're like white sepulchres. Thank you, sir. It's time for us to check again the scriptures and say, may I be like him. May I be like him. Because that's why he wants to make us be like him. We must not keep idols. 1 John chapter 5 verse 21 says, my little children, keep no idols. John, the elder, wrote to church members and he told them, keep no idols. 1 John 5, 21, keep no idols. An idol is something you keep in your heart. You treasure. You don't want to let go. You idolize. You worship. Some of us worship money. Some of us worship our marriage, work, lands, assets, properties, power, education, status. Some of you young girls, you idolize your wig. Before you go to bed, you put your wig on your table, on your bed. You begin to look at it for 10 minutes. You comb your wig more than you read your Bible. You are your wig alone. I'm telling you. And if you want to see their red hair, touch the wig. They will bite you. They will fight you. You make it an object of worship and affection and attention and devotion. For what you give that to, you worship. You dress it up. You go to bed at night, you open your eye, one eye. It's still there. You dream of it tomorrow morning, it's still there. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Weak. Weak. I don't care if it's Brazilian or anywhere. Weak. Weak. So men worship their cars. Hush puppy. Now God, I'm not in heaven. They buy a new car, they stand in front of you as if this is now God. I'm not in heaven. They take 55 pictures. Different angle. The same car. You stand in front, you stand in the middle, you stand beside, you stand under, you sit on top. The same car. Same car. You now post it as you see my object of worship. I've arrived. You stay in it, you clean it, you don't even drive it. You keep cleaning, keep cleaning, keep polishing. May nothing take the place of God in our lives. Let him rule and reign in your heart. This temple has only one seat for a throne, and that throne is for God only. That throne is for God. Nothing else will sit on the throne of my heart but God, and yours too, in Jesus' name. I'm not saying don't look good, though, but don't worship yourself. Number two, the second thing that can defile your temple, I'm rounding up now, is mammon. The first is what? Idols. Second is what? Mammon. Which one did Jesus go to deal with in that temple? Mammon. So Christ entered the temple. He removed the table of the money changers. Those that came to sell and to buy. You know what I found out? Oh God, I don't go there. In America, they call something seller's market. In real estate, seller's market. That is, a real estate market is determined by the seller. So sometimes, not buyer's market, sellers. So the seller is in a hall, he can sell it at a lower price. It's a seller's market. But you get the point now. So in this place, Bible says they found people that sold. No, the Holy Ghost for the first time opened my eyes to this. If there's no seller sold, there'll be no buyer. What is not for sale, nobody can have interest in it. Oh no, you missed that. If somebody comes to me and say, you want to sell your car? I say, no, it's not for sale. Why? I give you 1 billion. Hey, I'm a private seller, but I say 1 billion for my car. But right now, I'm not interested in selling my car. Except the devil offers me a lot of money. I can buy 20 of that kind of car. But nobody can even come and meet me now because it is not for sale. What has happened is this. All of us are selling something. That's, you have different kind of buyers coming to you. What you sell determines what you attract. So if you see different kind of people coming to meet you, it's because you are telling them this is what is for sale. Don't sell Dove. Don't sell your gift. Don't sell your talent. Musicians or worshippers, don't sell your skill. I will not come and sing in that church except to pay me 1 million naira. Why? It's my profession. You are selling. Be careful. Go and worship. God will give you your money. God will bless you. God will bless you. I don't want to go into that place because my time is up. Don't forget, the second thing that defiles the temple is what? Mammon. 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 There are many people worshiping Mammon today. Idols also have a high number. People don't know it. Idols have a higher number than most Mammon. There's some Christians that have dealt with Mammon, but they have not dealt with themselves. So Jesus shook the tables. I'm hoping that all of us here will shake the tables of Mammon. Every table that served Mammon in my life will be shaken in the name of Jesus. All of you should pull down the tables that bring different currencies instead of tongues. I want them to speak the tongues. Jesus shook the tables. He destroyed the place. Don't give greed and Mammon a place in your heart. I beg you in God's name, don't give greed and Mammon a place in your heart. Don't serve Mammon. The third thing that people look at and that indeed defiles the temple, I'm going to round up now, is sexual immorality. I don't want to go into that in details. All of us know that. But Jesus said to us, Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 13 through to 20, that, and he was saying, meat are for the belly for meat. God shall destroy both it and them. Now the body is not for fornication, but for the Lord, and the Lord for that body. And God has both raised up, it wasn't raised up by his own power. Verse 15. Know ye not that your bodies, now this is not your, not your spirit, your bodies are the members of Christ. Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them to members of an harlot? God forbid. Listen, it was a very promiscuous society those days. If you've seen the history of Rome, Corinth, they were living in prostitution almost on the streets daily. And some people now became born again, were in church. And so Paul now heard that those in church were still doing all this nonsense. So Paul was saying, you guys, stop this nonsense now. You are now new. In fact, they were not only doing that nonsense, they were also involved in what? In evil sleeping, doing incest. In chapter 5, he was condemning an incestuous relationship. So imagine the kind of church Corinth was. Now, Corinthian church was a very carnal church. Very carnal. They were doing what they do today in the club. They will come to church and eat communion. But when they're coming to fight. Because they are coming to eat communion in a hurry. If they get there early, they were eating communion like a food. So Paul said, wait for one another now. You guys, exercise more patience. Then they were so incestuous. Sexual immorality was so much prevalent in the city of Corinth that those that were born again were also involved in it. That's why Paul used the word allot. He was so angry that they were doing it even with allots. Oh, with prostitutes. Well, you don't get it. Not for those that are engaged though. With prostitutes. And they will come to church. So Paul said, don't you understand that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost? Don't do this. How can you go and sleep with an allot? So in chapter 7, Apostle Paul had to simmer down small. You don't understand that church. That church was a very terrible church. Corinthian church. In fact, they now asked him. Because they said, hey, so you are saying we should not sleep again. What nonsense. So are we not going to sleep with women anymore? He now said in chapter 7, concerning the things that you have asked me, if you can touch a woman. Their question had nothing to do with success. It was women. Chapter 5, incest. Chapter 6, fornication. Chapter 7, marriage. He had to deal with this issue of sex. That church, they would have said, Paul, keep your Christ. Leave us alone. They would have told him that. It's like you going to Las Vegas in America. They call the place Sin City. They call the place in America Sin City. Las Vegas. They call the place Sin City. You now start preaching to them the gospel that they preach in Pastor George Village. They will think Pastor George is insane. They will tell him, are you saying we should not gamble? We should not look at women anymore? We should not look at naked girls? He say, yes. They say, are you okay? How? So how can we not touch women? So Paul was not telling them, it is better not to marry. But please, if you're going to do this, please do it well. Make sure you marry a woman. If your body is burning, find a woman to marry. He was now coordinating their sexual urges. Can you imagine a pastor in an epistle? He says, for flee fornication. He didn't say embrace, he said flee, run. Everything that a man doeth is without his body. So you see now, we commit sins without our bodies. Because Christians don't read it that way. We only read one part. You see, you don't read the script as well. We only read the part of saying fornication is the only sin we commit. You didn't get it. If you don't care, if you don't take your time, you will misread that passage. Every sin that a man doeth is not his body. But he that commits fornication sinneth against his own body. So that means there are other sins you commit without. You didn't get it. Oh, you didn't hear me. Because I'm sure your mind is saying, is that what the Bible? Yes, read it again. There are sins that you commit without your body. Many. But this one, plenty. I just mentioned, but this one, you do it with your. So it's not telling you that this is what you do with your body. But there are many other sins. Does it make those sins lesser? No. It's in this one you can carry gonorrhea. You can say, well, it was a terrible sin. Say, be careful. This one's not with your physical body. Don't do it. This is, you are going to make sure God will destroy your body. That was what I was saying here. That that this your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. Praise God. So the first thing that defiled the temple is what? Idols. No, second thing is what? Mammon. If you put mammon in that body and he operates there, like, Lord, you are destroying that body. You are defiling that temple. For you cannot worship God and mammon together in the same temple. The third is what? Sexual immorality. And this is fornication. Sexual immorality. You see, somebody is reading fornication there. Sexual immorality. Which means adultery, fornication, pornography, lust, incest, pedophilia, sexual abuse, rape, sexual. And not is everything is fornication. No. There may be other, but you have to explain it well. Sexual promiscuity. Number four. The fourth thing, which is the worst one, is you. Somebody say you. You can defile your temple. It's called flesh and self-worship. Flesh and self-worship. Oh, I thought we all went this way. I don't know whether it's cold or is the word a heater, like thunderbolt. Flesh and self-worship. Somebody can just come, you know, those that worship themselves. You know, they will call, especially the gifted and the talented. My God. They are those that worship themselves. When the way they hold the microphone, they want to invite you to come and speak. They say, nobody like me. They now come, they say, praise the Lord. They put their heads, those ladies, they shake their head like this. And then they say, before I sing this song, I want you all please to listen to me. Are you here? Praise God. That person is not worshiping Christ. He's worshiping herself. They spend 6 hours to do makeup for that show, not that worship meeting. It's not a worship meeting, it's a show. Especially Christian musicians, because I don't call them worshippers. Because if you're a worshipper, emphasis is on God. If you're a musician, emphasis is on your talent. We have more musicians in church than worshippers. Because the word worship means God. So you worship self. Your gifts are given to you by God. You don't own them. Your talents are given to you by God. You don't own them. All of us preachers included. Acts chapter 12. One man called Herod. He gave a speech and the people screamed, "The God is here. God is here. God is here." It was enjoying the self-worship. It was going this way. The Bible says God slapped him. It became worms, Herod. Acts 12. And God killed him. The man did not commit fornication, but his temple was destroyed. His temple was destroyed. Look for it. You don't know how to read scriptures. It's Acts 12. His temple was destroyed because he took the place of God. He took what? The place of God. I don't want heaven to slap me. There are many ways God will slap us today. Maybe not physically. I don't want God to depart from me. Every time you do anything, you say, "God, to you be the glory and honor." Because God giveth and God honeth. God gave me the gift. God shows me insights. And the people give a shout, verse 22, saying, "It is the voice of a God, not the voice of a man." Can you imagine, Pastor George? Acts 12, the man gave a speech, an oratory. People worshipped him. You know when Barack Obama talks, people worship him. Many years ago, a fantastic preacher, my wife and I was there in our former church, came to speak for me. And as he came in to speak, we invited him. As the man held the microphone, he went this way with his baritone voice, very baritone voice. "Praise the Lord, everybody. Praise Jesus." And I found my church that I was pastoring, all the young girls, like them, Ejiro, Luchi, all of them, Tika, they all went, I'm like, ah. He had not spoken his message. He just used his baritone, sexy voice to mesmerize them. He said, "Praise the Lord, everybody. I'm here today." And he said, "Yay! Yay!" And I was wondering, I looked at my wife. She looked at me. We went, "What is happening here?"
He had not opened Bible. He didn't open Bible. He didn't preach.
Celebrity feel. They found a celebrity in our church.
It's not our church. It's not our church.
We have a problem. If a man of God comes in God's name, is he God? Acts 12:22. They said what? The man. They said this is the voice of a God. Can you imagine? Not the voice of a man. Because the man spoke and articulated well. Ha! What the man said, we don't know. It's the voice they celebrated, not the words. That's why we have so many fantastic preachers preaching nonsense. So the people go there to hear the voice, not to know the word. Jesus was the word. He's the word from the beginning. John said the voice of one crying. So the best John was a voice. I am at best a voice. But what I preach, the content of my message is what will save you. It's the word that saves men, not a voice. The Lord sent forth his word, and the word healed them, not a voice. Are you with me? Are you hearing me? It's the word that delivers. The voice can entice you. The voice can tease you. The voice can mesmerize you. Can charm you. The voice can do all kinds of things to you. The voice can tickle you. I like his voice. I like God. I'm telling that people that just want to hear Obama speak. What he's saying, even if he's defending homosexuality, they don't care. Obama spoke. What is the content of his speech? And what happened to that man? That man embraced the worship and God was angry. Immediately the angel of the Lord smote him because he gave not God the glory. He was eating of worms and he gave up the ghost. This is in our Bibles. Most of us don't know it. It's there. Please, the breath God has given to you is for God. Change your product. Don't you ever sell your intellect. Don't sell anything that God has given to you. Don't sell it. Don't worship it. These things will defile your temple. They will defile your temple. For God cannot be there and self is there. Oh no, you missed that. God cannot be there and mammon is there. God cannot be there and idols are there. God cannot be there and you still worship sexual immorality, sex, or lust is there. The last one, which I'm sure many people in church don't do, and I don't want to go into it at all, is devil worship. You know, five things that will defile the temple of the Holy Ghost. Most people do not do that in church, but some Christians have gone into rituals, into cultism, and in church, and they say they're a temple of the Holy Ghost. I doubt if you are, God will destroy that body. For you cannot tell me you love God and you love the devil. You cannot tell me you worship God and you worship the devil. You cannot tell me you worship God and you worship the devil. Devil worship, ritualists, spiritualists. There are many people that do things and can do anything. Cultists. They can do anything just to get power. A friend of mine many years ago, very close friend of mine, he went to a Bible school in the Southeast. He came back from Bible school and we were talking. And he said to me that he found the secret and the key to success in ministry. That he wanted to do miracles and signs and wonders. And I told him my own path to doing miracles and signs and wonders would be to spend quality time in God's presence. Let him anoint me. So as I lay hands on the sick, they'll be recovering. He said, no. There's a book called this. He mentioned a book. I don't want to mention it over the internet. So some of you know, go and read the book and start Googling it. Because I know you. Once you hear that book through my mouth now, you start going to Google it to go and look for where you can buy it. So he mentioned that book to me. He said, you just got a book. He mentioned a pastor that bought him the book. And that he was reading the book. That he was going to go for 30 days fasting and prayer somewhere in the forest. I begged him not to go. That my friend, close guy, fantastic creature. He went to his own fasting in a dry wilderness. He said, Jesus went to the wilderness for 40 days. That's the secret of those that are great always. That Moses went to the wilderness for 40 days. That if you're going to be great, you must spend some time in the wilderness to dine, to wine, to fight beasts. And so he went into seclusion. And when he came back in about 6 months. He came back different. And he was speaking, he was casting out devils, doing this. So one day they called me in my house and they rushed my house that my friend, his name is dead now, he's dead now, his name is Dakpo. That my friend had a problem that please come quickly. That he had a spiritual problem. So I rushed, put my clothes on, I rushed to his house and I saw my friend in a fit of rage. He was having bouts of insanity. I kept talking to him, he couldn't see me anymore, he couldn't recognize me. So I felt some demons were possessing him. So he had bouts of insanity, he was misbehaving. I said, God, this guy has gotten himself involved in something that he shouldn't get involved in. So I began to cast out that devil. I prayed for him. I was successful that day. We were able to deliver him. We did exorcism on him. We casted those devils out. So we took him, we bound him, we took him to church. After 2-3 days, he was calm. I sat him down, I gave him food, we're talking, me and my few other friends. And he said, Yomi, I don't know what I got myself into. I can't sleep all night. I find myself with nightmares, having all kinds of dreams. Some demon spirits are fighting me. I said, tell me. He said, I read that book. I went there. I went for like 2-3 months. I was seeing things at night. I was making covenants with things I saw because I wanted power. I said, why would you do all that for power? I asked him, I begged him, why would you do that for power? I was still single all this while. So he said, look, what can I do? I need to be out of this. I can't sleep. So we prayed for him. We left him there. He would be sane for like 3-4 months. Then he'll be sane. Under 3-4 weeks, he'll be sane. So his family took him to one church in Ketu where they tied him and they were beating him every day. By the time they brought him back, they beat him to submission. They brought him back as all his body's scars. He was bruised and battered and beaten. And I felt mutilated. I said, what's all this? Violated physically. You could see the scars all around his body. I felt so sad for him. To cut the long story short, he kept going on to those lapses. He would relapse and come back. One day I got married, and then years after I got married, about 2-3 years after I got married, I was driving on Yaba Road, you know that Ted Joshua Yaba area, and I saw a madman stuck naked. I was driving, and I had to pause, and guess who? My friend, the same guy, stuck naked, picking on the streets. People were just looking at him, stoning him. Naked, stuck naked, no clothes. He ran literally mad. Mad. About a year or two after his brothers come and said he was dead. How could a young, promising man of God, how did he get himself involved in that? Looking for power at all cost. Looking for power, prominence, success at any cost. Brilliant man. He had scriptures in his heart. He had love in his soul. All he went through was he went to a Bible school in the Southeast and he came back and his life changed. And he told me that he found the secret of getting power. He was not willing to toe the path of patience. Today, I toe the path of patience. Look at where I am today. I didn't try to speed things up. Don't try to speed things up. Dedicate your temple to God. Let him hone you, for you don't hone yourself. Worship him, serve him. Everything you do, let it be for him. Glorify God in your body, in your spirit. Cleanse it. Today, we're cleansing the temple. Can we cleanse our temples? Can we cleanse our temples of those 5 things? Don't do devil worship. Don't do mammon worship. Don't do self worship. Don't do idol worship. And don't do lust or sex worship. Don't do that. Those 5 things would defile your temple. Because you must only do God worship. Anything outside God in your temple will not be acceptable to him. Dedicate yourself afresh and anew. Please, you are the temple of the Holy Ghost. Bow your heads and let us pray for a minute or two. And ask him at home to please help you to dedicate this temple to him. That doesn't mean you won't work. You'll work. You labor, you make your money, you use it for the things of God and for yourself. But don't do self-worship. Don't give so much attention, affection, devotion to yourself. Let God be king and let God be Lord indeed of your lives. Say to him, Lord, today I give you my life again as a temple of the Holy Ghost. Repeat after me, say, Lord Jesus, I consecrate my body. I sanctify my spirit and my soul as yours for you. In the name of Jesus, this is yours, Lord. I consecrate my entire life as your temple. I will glorify you and you only, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Don't forget, cleanse. Let us cleanse ourselves. Let us cleanse ourselves. Thank you very much. God bless you all. Put your hands together for Jesus.